Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host, and it's Friday, April 13th, 2012. I very much hope that you were with me last week. I'd be devastated if I learned that you had missed campaign feasibility agility. Why is a feasibility study important before you embark on a fundraising campaign? What do you learn from a well-crafted study? Who should be interviewed and who should do the interviewing? Eugenia Colon of Colon & Associates sorted that out for you. And I had creating a culture of philanthropy. Laura Goodwin, vice president of the Osborne Group, had ideas about focusing on your donors, collaborating, programming, board expectations and responsibilities, and leadership, all to help you increase your fundraising revenue. This week, smart interviewing makes great hiring. Cheryl Newfer, a founding partner in Pareto Consulting, explains why behavioral interviewing is superior to traditional methods and how any size nonprofit can get better hires through more sophisticated interviewing. This applies whether you're hiring once a year or several times a month. Relationship mapping. Maria Semple, the Prospect Finder, is our regular prospect research contributor. This month, Maria helps you mine your data with tools that reveal relationships you didn't know existed among your donors. It's much more than just a list of friends in a pull-down menu. As always, Maria's got valuable resources, and a lot of them are free. Between the guests, Tony's Take Two, my blog this week, I have a favor to ask, and I'll ask you when the time comes around, which is about 32 minutes into the hour. Use hashtag nonprofit radio to join the conversation through Twitter. Welcome to the people from Small Nonprofit Chat, who I was just with on Twitter. I hope some of you are joining us. Use that hashtag nonprofit radio. Right now we take a break. When we return, it's smart interviewing makes great hiring, so stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Hello and welcome back to Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. My guest now is Cheryl Newfer. Cheryl is a founding partner of Pareto Consulting, providing small to medium-sized organizations with business tools that are often available only to large for-profit corporations. Sounds like she sort of stole the tagline for this show. She's a strategy and organization development consultant with more than 30 years of experience, and I'm pleased that her expertise brings her on. Cheryl Newfer, welcome.
Thank you so much, Tony. It's really a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thanks. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with traditional interviewing, Cheryl?
Well, have a top 10 list of what goes wrong in interviews, but really there are two biggies. And the first one is that it's hard to believe, but a lot of interviewers don't really know what they're looking for in a candidate. And so they just figure that the more people they interview, the better their odds. It's kind of like Vegas. And that they'll know it when they see it. The second big problem is that they ask risky questions. And when I say risky questions...
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, I don't mean just the... You know, we typically think about what we call illegal questions. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. But risky questions are questions that a candidate can prep for, that they can anticipate, that they can prepare a canned answer for, which may or may not be the truth. So the data on which you base your hiring decision is flawed.
So those sounds like questions like, what's your strengths and what are your strengths and weaknesses? Like those types of questions are risky?
That's exactly right.
Because people can anticipate them?
Yeah. The common ones we hear are what you just said there. But it's also questions like, what would you do in a situation, for example, if you were faced with an angry donor? Or, this job is going to require a lot of long hours. Will that be a problem for you? Or, my favorite is, tell me about yourself. Or, why should I hire you?
Yeah, right.
And these are risky because they're predictable, as I mentioned. Secondly, they solicit the candidate's opinions. And, you know, I don't want to sound harsh, but the candidate doesn't know a lot about what's required for success in the job. The interviewer does. So mm-hmm. the interviewer's opinion is most important. And then lastly...
So you can say that and not sound harsh. If I say it, it sounds harsh.
Okay.
But coming from you, it just sounds very matter-of-fact and professional.
And the final thing is that they also ask the candidate to hypothesize. So if you ask, you know, what would you do in a particular situation, they can tell you just about anything. Now, is that what they would do if they were faced with that situation in your organization? They may or may not. So again, all of these are risky.
It's interesting that you call very typical questions risky, but I understand why. Yeah.
Well, it's all about collecting data to make a decision to predict how someone's going to perform in your organization. And the riskier your database, the riskier your hire decision.
All right. That's the interviewing that we're all most familiar with. We either do it or we've been through it or both. Why don't you just start to acquaint us with behavioral interviewing?
Okay. Well, behavioral interviewing is not just about the interview. It's really a business process, just like your financial processes or your HR processes. And it has a set of steps. And so it starts off with identifying and defining the skills for success, and then you create a line of questioning that's based on those skills. You put that in an interview guide. You follow the guide. After you interview, you rate the candidate based on the data you collected, and then all of the interviewers get together and share their examples and make a hire or no hire decision. So first of all, it's a repeatable process.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of knowing what you're looking for, I think that's a really big difference. What we talk about is looking for a balance of skills.
Well, and what we're looking for, doesn't that come from the job description?
Well, not necessarily. That's a good question, because a lot of organizations' job descriptions are nothing more than a list of responsibilities that they will fulfill once they're hired.
Mm.
But what I'm talking about is a list of skills that are required to be successful in executing those responsibilities. And so we look at those in terms of technical skills, which are really job specific, and things maybe like marketing or finance or fundraising or sales. And then another set of skills that we call professional skills. You might also call these soft skills. And these cross jobs. And these are things like planning and teamwork and initiative and judgment, integrity, those kinds of things. We have a saying that a lot of organizations hire on technical skills, but when they have to fire someone, it's on the professional skills.
Cheryl, we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue this and start exploring why behavioral interviewing is better than what we're all accustomed to. Please, hope everybody stays with us. We're talking smart interviewing makes great hiring.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hi, this is psychic medium Betsy Cohen, host of the show The Power of Intuition. Join me at talkingalternative.com Mondays at 11 a.m. Call in for a free psychic reading. Learn how to tune into your intuition to feel better and to create your optimum life. I'm here to guide you and to assist you in creating the life that you deserve. Listen every Monday at 11 a.m. on talkingalternative.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
If you have big ideas but an average budget, tune into Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio for ideas you can use. I do. I'm Dr. Robert Penna, author of the Nonprofit Outcomes Toolbox.
Welcome back with my guest, Cheryl Neufer of Pareto Consulting. You'll find Pareto Consulting at Pareto, P-A-R-E-T-O, hyphen, H-Y-P-H-E-N, but don't spell hyphen, just put a hyphen in, consulting, Pareto-consulting.com. Cheryl, why is this method, behavioral interviewing, superior to what we're all accustomed to?
Well, that has to do a lot with the questions that you ask.
Yeah.
I said before, those other questions are risky. Behavioral questions are based on a principle that past behavior is the best predictor of future behavior. So if we can figure out in an interview how a person behaved in the recent past in situations that are similar to what they'll face in our job, then we have a pretty good idea of how they'll behave if we hire them.
So this is the opposite of stock investing, investment advisors who will say past results are no indication of future returns, right?
That's right.
But past behavior is a predictor of future behavior.
Yeah, because we are creatures of habit. So there's a great formula for creating a behavioral question that your listeners can start using right away. So what you do is you start with a phrase. Something like, give me an example of a time in the past, or maybe describe a past situation. And then what you do is you go back to those skills I was talking about a minute ago that are important for success, and you plug in verbiage that describes those skills. So let's say we were talking about initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'd say something like, give me an example of a time in the past when you went above and beyond job requirements. Or a time in the past when you anticipated a potential problem and you made contingency plans. So what you do is always in a behavioral interview is you ask what people did in the past versus what they would do in the future, which is a hypothetical question.
Right. All right. So this sounds harder to fake, but I have to tell a whole story now.
You have to tell a whole story. And it is very difficult to fake because they're hard to anticipate. And a good interviewer should be asking specific follow-up questions. I mean, it's easy to just ask the behavioral question, but as an interviewer, you start listening for what you want. You want a real situation, you want to understand what they said or did in that situation, and you want to know what happened, what kind of results they got.
All right, this is scaring the heck out of me. If I'm I'm nervous. It's a good thing I have my own business, so I'll never run into this. So what if I don't have a story about initiative, or I'm under pressure, I can't think of one?
Well, that's a common thing. And our role as an interviewer is to bring out the best in a candidate. So what we can do is...
That's good. That's reassuring.
Is to, because when you're comfortable, you're going to share more information with me. So I would prompt you with questions such as, what about in this specific job? Or I may rephrase the question. Or if someone doesn't have work experience, I might ask them to think about a project that they did in college or maybe a summer job. So anything that I can do, or I can say, we can come back to that question and give you a few minutes to think about it if you'd like. So there are a lot of ways to handle that. It's not uncommon for someone to freeze up.
Yeah, okay. I polled listeners before the show. One of the questions I asked is, do you feel your hiring process is efficient and you're hiring the right candidate? And about 71% said yes, and about 29% said no.
Okay.
So we want to help the other third, but that two-thirds may not be as efficient and hiring savvy as they think.
Well, that's right.
Or three-quarters almost, sorry.
Yeah, even if they have a good track record of getting good bringing on good talent, the beauty of a behavioral approach is that you don't necessarily have to interview a lot of candidates and pick the best of the lot. If you know what you're looking for and you have a good screening process and you interview the candidate and their experiences match the criteria for success, technically you could hire the first candidate that you interview, which reduces your cycle time, and it also keeps you from potentially losing a good candidate because your hiring cycle is too long.
Have you seen organizations do that, either for-profit or non-profit? I mean, don't they typically say, well, she was very good, but maybe we'll find somebody better?
Absolutely, and that's because they are not confident in their process. There's something in their gut that says, I'm just not confident in the data, in my process for evaluating it. And that's where a good process really builds confidence to make that decision when you see that good fit.
Okay. These are interesting. And as you said, these types of questions, very hard to anticipate that they're going to come. How does the interviewer prepare? You touched on it a little bit. Can we go into a little more detail on, and then shortly we'll get to how many interviewers there should be, but how do we prepare as an interviewer?
Oh, as an interviewer?
Yeah.
Well, basically you identify the skills that are required for success in the job. Based on those skills, you develop a line of behavioral questions using the formula that I shared with you. Typically, you will type those up in an interview guide or just a list. If you have multiple interviewers, you'll divide that list up among all of your interviewers so that there are no gaps in your questioning and there's no redundancy. So everyone has their game plan. Mm. They interview based on that. So that's the primary way that you would prepare.
Okay.
Certainly, you would review their resume, the common things.
Right. You certainly want to be prepared.
Absolutely.
So if it is a series of interviews, mm-hmm. Interviewers, they don't ask the same questions then?
No, they don't. That's really a waste of time. And you have so little time in an interview, you want to make sure to use it wisely. Now, they may ask multiple questions about a specific skill, but they typically don't ask the same question. Because if they ask the same question, the candidate will probably give the same example, And that's kind of silly.
Yes, they'll tell the same story twice.
Exactly, right. And you would expect that. So it's not the interviewee's fault, it's the interviewer's fault for not being prepared.
On the other hand, what if all the interviewees' stories, anecdotes, come from just one of their jobs or something, or just two, and they've got, you know, 30 years of experience or something like that?
Well, that would absolutely be a red flag. Either their breadth or depth of experience is not what it may appear on their resume, or perhaps there's something that they just don't want to share with you. So that's something that you may, if you find when you bring your interviewers together that the same stories were told to everybody, then you could either make a no-hire decision, or you could make a decision to have a follow-up phone interview where you would try to glean examples from some of their other work experiences.
Okay. Oh, so you like the follow-up interview to be by phone, but the first one to be in person? Is that right?
What I'm talking about here is typically you would do a phone screen
with
organizations and then bring the candidate in for face-to-face. What I was saying is if you feel you can't make a hire, no hire decision, you know, you always have the option to follow up again by phone and ask more questions.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so since we're talking sort of around this, what is your advice around having just one interviewer or having a series of interviewers or even having a panel?
Okay. Well, we would always recommend more than one interviewer, if at all possible, and you can...
Is that just to eliminate bias of one person?
It can eliminate bias. It can get you more data, because if you have two interviews, then you have more data on which to base a decision.
Mm-hmm.
There are two ways of doing this, what we call a serial interview, which is Cheryl interviews the candidate, hands the candidate off to Tony, who interviews, who hands it off to Joe. And then you interview separately, and then after all the interviews, you come back together and share your examples and make a decision. There's also the panel interview, where you have multiple people interviewing the candidate at one time.
Yeah.
And you can do multiple panels. Panels are great ways to involve more people from your organization in getting exposure to the candidate. You just don't want the panels to get too big.
Yeah, what is too big? I mean, panel interviews can be scary. I've heard stories from people who were interviewed by five people or so. I mean, that's pretty intimidating.
It's very intimidating. I've been interviewed by as many as six at one time.
Yeah.
I know a lot about interviewing, and that was unnerving to me. What we recommend is either two or three. When it gets above three, it can not only be intimidating, but it's difficult for the interviewers to it should be choreographed. So you should have someone out of the panel who is kind of the host and is kind of orchestrating this interview so there's not anarchy.
Right.
Where everyone's firing questions at the candidate, and it really doesn't set the candidate up for success.
Sure. Cheryl Neufer is a founding partner of Pareto Consulting. You'll find them on the web at Pareto, P-A-R-E-T-O, -consulting.com. We're talking about smart interviewing, making great hiring. Cheryl, is there an advantage of serial interviewing over the panel? Or the other way around?
Well, there is an advantage. And the advantage is that when you're in a panel, if you conduct one panel interview, all three of you are hearing the same stories, the same situations. In a serial interview, it's more likely that you will hear different stories, or sometimes the same story told different ways. And so when...
Uh-oh, that sounds bad.
It can be bad if, in fact, there are vast differences in the story.
The fourth step is supposed to be the results. So if the results were different in the same story across two different interviews, that's
correct.
A bad sign.
That's a red flag.
Yeah.
Maybe the results keep getting better and better as you go through each interview.
Yeah.
But that's a great way to start catching a candidate who may be fabricating.
People actually do that. Is that true?
Absolutely, they do.
I've heard rumors to that effect, but I always hoped it wasn't so. Another question I asked listeners before the show is, Are hires in your office typically interviewed by more than one person? And 71% said yes, 14% said no. So most people are doing the multiple interviewing.
That's excellent.
And then 14% said depends on the job. All right. Is there a job where the solo interview makes sense, or no, you really just don't like that at all? Or is there a situation, I guess, I mean, when just one interviewer makes sense?
Here's what I would say. In some more straightforward jobs, maybe some entry-level jobs, it could perhaps be appropriate. But I say it's more appropriate in bigger organizations or bigger companies. When you have a really small organization, you have to hire the right people. You have nowhere to hide them. You have no one to cover for them.
Mm-hmm.
You hire a bad bad fit. So I think it's always good in a small organization, if possible, to have a second set of eyes.
And I guess that second set doesn't have to be somebody that the person is going to report to, right? It could be a colleague. I mean, take an office of just four or five people, they're going to be hiring of a fifth or a sixth, like you, as you're saying, that's a big percentage of the staff. It doesn't have to be somebody that the person would report to, right?
Absolutely not. And in a small organization of four or five people, I mean, everyone's wearing multiple hats. They really have to depend on each other. So everyone has a big stake in making sure the best person is brought on board. So it could be a peer. It could be someone that maybe has performed well in a similar job in the past. You're absolutely right. It could be just as long as they're good interviewers, they would be appropriate.
How do we gauge technical expertise? We've been talking about behavior.
Well, you can use behavioral questions to get at technical competencies, but technical skills are a little bit easier. For example, if you were hiring someone for fundraising, you could actually have them bring in and explain fundraising approaches that they've used in the past. I mean, I would ask a lot of follow-up questions to make sure that what they brought you is something they actually did. There are tests that you can use for certain technical skills. You can also do simulations. So, for example, if you were hiring someone for a sales position or a fundraising position, you could actually have them come in and do a presentation to a team of you as though you were potential donors and see how they would handle it. So there are a lot of ways to get it technical.
We have just about a minute left, Cheryl. What potential problems should people look out for if they're going to implement behavioral interviewing?
I think the biggest problem is asking a behavioral question and assuming you're going to get a behavioral answer. So you have to be able to sort out hypothetical responses through a good line of follow-up questioning about the situation, their action, and the results.
Okay, the situation, obstacle, action, and results. Cheryl Neufer is a founding partner of Pareto Consulting, which provides small to medium-sized organizations with business tools that are often available only to large for-profit corporations. Cheryl, thank you very much for being a guest. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, Tony, thank you so much. And I hope that this information will help your guests.
I think it will help listeners. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to have you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Right now we take a break, and when we return, Tony's Take Two, I have a favor to ask. Stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com. TalkingAlternativeRadio.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back. It's time for Tony's Take Two at roughly 32 minutes into the hour. My blog this week is I Have a Favor to Ask. I asked blog followers to give the show a 1 to 5 star rating on iTunes, just like I asked our podcast listeners to do in the past 2 weeks. And podcast listeners stepped up. Thank you very much for doing that. Not going to prevail on you for a third week. I won't ask you to take that easy step by going to the very simple to remember nonprofitradio.net podcast listeners. I'm not asking you to do that, to go to nonprofitradio.net and then to click on view in iTunes and then on the next page to scroll down to the bottom and click the 1 to 5 stars. Not asking that. This week I asked blog followers to do that. So the only group remaining is live listeners. Live listeners, open a window, go to nonprofitradio.net, click view in iTunes, and then on the next page, scroll down to the bottom. You can do it. Live listeners, you're the third segment that I'm prevailing on. Nonprofit Radio has a LinkedIn group. You will find us on LinkedIn. Please join the group. It's going to be a place for us to host a discussion, whether it's follow-up to a show or discussion about new topics that you might like to hear on the show. So please check us out on LinkedIn. And that is Tony's Take Two for Friday, April 13th, the 15th show of 2012. Maria Semple, the Prospect Finder, are you there?
I am here.
I know you are. Maria Semple, you'll find her on theprospectfinder.com. She's an experienced trainer and speaker on prospect research. Her book is Panning for Gold, Find Your Best Donor Prospects Now. Welcome back, Maria.
Thanks for having me again, Tony.
Always a pleasure. We're talking about relationship mapping and mining your own data. What is relationship mapping?
Well, in a nutshell, relationship mapping is trying to map out relationships to prospects in your own database, but also to find new unknown connections, either those connections that may exist within your database that you didn't realize existed, relationships between people, or it could be relationships outside of the organization. So let me give you an example. We've okay. talked in the past about reactive prospect research and proactive prospect research. So reactive is when you have a known name of an individual or perhaps an organization, an entity, and you need to know more about them. So you have a you're starting from a known point and you're just trying to find more information about that. That's reactive research. Proactive might be if you are sitting with other members of your staff or perhaps members of your development committee and the discussion starts coming around about companies that are in the region or some new names that have popped up, new people in the community, and you're trying to figure out how are those people connected to others in the community, how well connected they may be, but also what might be the pathway to get us to that person or to get us to that organization. So here you're starting off with a lot less information and you're going to go out and proactively seek more information about that. So Let's say you have a donor in your database, mm-hmm. and you'd like to know a bit more about who else they may be connected to. There are some tools out there that we're going to get into in a moment that will be able to help paint that picture for you, so to speak. So there are a lot of very useful tools that are available to us, both free and fee-based.
Right. And I always appreciate that you come with lots of free resources.
I try to come with as much free as possible, but I do realize that some people do have some budgets or maybe already tied into some prospect research tools that they didn't realize also had this other relationship mapping component to it that they might not be taking advantage of right now. So I do like to include some of that information. So I think we should just tell people at the outset, though, that all of the resources that we'll talk about on today's show, I have compiled them all in a list, and I'll post them on both your Facebook business page, Tony, and I'll do it also on your new LinkedIn group, if
that'd
that's all right with you.
Thank you. Yes.
So this way they can listen and not have to worry about taking as much in the way of notes at this time, because I'll point them to all of the sites themselves.
Okay. Let me just share with you the poll question on this topic, which was, are you using relationship mapping tools, many free, like Muckety.com and NodeXL, which we'll get to uncover relationships in your existing data? Nobody said yes.
Really?
Half said no, but I know about the tools. And the other half said, I've never heard of this. I better listen on Friday.
Oh, good.
So well, even people who know about them aren't using them. Hopefully, we need to motivate a little bit. This is a lot deeper than just the pull-down menu of friends that each person in your database has, right? Friends within the database.
That's correct. Yeah, this is much deeper than that. And so there are services that have done a very nice job of compiling people, compiling companies, who those people are within the companies, within the foundations, et cetera, and really painting a picture of how these people are all interconnected. Because, you know, building relationships is really crucial to the ongoing success of a nonprofit organization. We hear over and over and over again in development about how people give to people, get out there, network, meet more people, build relationships, and so on and so forth. So this could be a way to at least identify who some of those other people are that we should be talking to.
Okay. And so this is, before we get into the actual services, these are screenings, right? So you would share your data with the companies that, with the sites that we're going to talk about. Is that right?
Well, no, not necessarily. I go in and I use these services on a one-off basis. So I go in and I plug in the name of an individual and I see what that particular service might have compiled on that individual and who they're connected to in the world and so forth. So I was doing a little bit of testing this week on a well-known name of an individual who is connected in both the business and the foundation world here in New Jersey, and I came up with some really interesting results. I don't know if you want me to get into, you know, the specific name or any of that.
Maybe not that person.
Just to know that you can just go and start with just a name and plug that name in.
Okay, you can do it on an individual name basis, but I'm a little confused now. So I thought this was data mining. Can you also reveal relationships within your database
that goes deeper than that pull-down list of friends? There's two of the services that I looked at in the last couple of weeks preparing for this show that do allow you to
do that
within your own.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I never prepare.
Oh. I try to.
Outstanding. You should be the host.
So two of the services, one free, one fee-based, do allow you to kind of take a look at your own database and discover relationships.
All right, let's get into what these are now. What's the free one?
Okay, so a couple of the free ones. Since we're on the topic of mining your own database, let's talk about a free tool that allows you to do that. It's called NodeXL, NodeXL. And this is actually an interactive network visualization and analysis tool that leverages your MS Excel application as the platform. So it's a plug-in, really, for your, if you have anything that you can export to Excel. and they say it's a free download in a zip file. Now, I've not tested this, so hopefully it you know, I'm not misspeaking here, that it's up and still available and working.
Okay.
That is supposed to be able to help you identify relationships that exist within your database.
Within, and then is this one of the companies that, or one of the sites that will give you those fancy looking maps with all the detailed lines and showing all connections between people
and companies. That's right. That's really kind of the cool thing about this whole notion of relationship mapping, is that imagine Tony Martinetti being a little stick figure on your computer screen, and resonating out from there like a starburst almost would be lines, like spokes, okay? And so Tony might be connected to Martinetti Planned Giving Advisors. Tony might be connected to ABC Board of Directors for a corporation. Tony might be connected to XYZ nonprofit board. So all of these spokes are pointing out to other places where Tony has a connection. And this is all mined off the internet, really, all of the publicly available data.
Foundations also, right? Someone's connected to a foundation.
That's right. That's right. So one of the other fee-based tool that will allow you to look at, again, at your own relationship management tools. You've heard of Salesforce, right? Which is what they call a CRM, a customer relationship or a constituent relationship management tool.
Right. Watch Jargon Jail there. Okay.
That's why I'm trying to explain. Right. So it's really a way for you to house all of your contact information. A lot of people will simply use something like Outlook for this. Anyway, it's a tool to house data on individuals, that either customers, donors, prospects, and Salesforce is actually, they do have a component available free to nonprofits, by the way. So they have a tool called Prospect Visual. And what Prospect Visual does is it interacts with Salesforce. So they say that they provide their clients with comprehensive intelligence about their target opportunities, and they deliver key insights about ways to reach them with trusted introductions. So that is a fee-based tool, and that might be something that if your organization is using the Salesforce to track all of your donor records and so forth, you might take a look at using Prospect Visual.
Right. Now, do you know whether Prospect Visual works with the free component, the free offering of Salesforce for charities?
You know, I didn't get that far in my research, so I'm not 100% certain about that, but I would think that it should interact with even what they have available to the nonprofit sector. If not, certainly something you might start asking Salesforce about if you are a Salesforce user. That might be something you could bring to their attention, that you would like access to having this integrate with Prospect Visual. Okay, so those are two tools that I know specifically of that I've come across that will look at your own data.
Look at your existing data. Now, do you know? Do you import to the Salesforce based one, the Prospect Visual? Is that also an Excel import or export to it, or is it some other way?
No, I think that directly connects and relates into your Salesforce.com database.
Oh, okay. I see.
Right?
It's like a plug-in.
So if you have
that,
a database housed there, you would look at Prospect Visual. If you have your database housed in more of, if you're really small and you're not into any type of fundraising software, you might take a look at this Node XL to see if that plug-in is available for you.
Or whatever program you are using for your database management, you might be able to export from there to Excel.
Yeah.
And then from Excel to Node XL.
Right. And, you know, I think it would be totally reasonable as well, now that I'm thinking about it, for you to go to your software provider, whoever you are using for donor database management, and say to them, hey, you know, I just learned about this new tool called relationship mapping. I'd love to be able to know, what does your firm offer in terms of a tool that I can use to mine and find new and existing relationships that I didn't realize existed within my own database.
Okay. We have just a minute before a break, Maria. You want to introduce us to another offering?
Let's get into one other one that's free at this point. Muckety, muckety.com, M-U-C-K-E-T-Y. This is really pretty cool. It is, explores paths of power and influence. That's what their tagline reads.
Because you're muckety-muck, right?
Muckety-muck? Oh, yeah. So you can search here by a person's name or an organization name.
Don't use me as an example because I am not a muckety-muck, so... Put somebody
okay,
else
no,
in the center of that center of that wheel
with
their
spokes coming
out.
You didn't come up in that database. I did try to put your name in there while I was playing.
What'd you say? I was busy talking over you. What?
No, I didn't find your name in
the
database.
Yeah, no surprise. All right, so you got to rub it in. Thank you. You couldn't just leave it. It wasn't enough for me to just joke about it. You had to actually make it realistic and real.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
But
this will be Maria's last time on the show, so you may as well tweet her a fond farewell. Use hashtag nonprofit radio. Say goodbye to Maria. Actually, we're going to take a break,
okay.
And when we come back, we'll talk more about Muckety without me. So
right.
Stay with us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is psychic medium Betsy Cohen, host of the show The Power of Intuition. Join me at talkingalternative.com Mondays at 11 a.m. Call in for a free psychic reading. Learn how to tune into your intuition to feel better and to create your optimum life. I'm here to guide you and to assist you in creating the life that you deserve. Listen every Monday at 11 a.m. on talkingalternative.com.
Hi, I'm Carol Ward from the Body Mind Wellness Program. Listen to my show for ideas and information to help you live a healthier life in body, mind, and spirit. You'll hear from terrific guests who are experts in the areas of health, wellness, and creativity. So join me every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on TalkingAlternative.com. Professionals serving community.
Hi, this is Nancy Tatro from Speak Spin Radio. Speak Spin Radio is an exploration of the world of communication, how it happens, and how to make it better, because the quality of your communication has a direct impact on the quality of your life. Tune in Mondays at 2 p.m. on TalkingAlternative.com, where I'll be interviewing experts from business, academia, the arts, and new thought. Join me Mondays at 2 p.m. and get all your communications questions answered on Speak Spin Radio.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. I'm talking with Maria Semple about relationship mapping. The next site that we're going to talk about is loser.com.
So
your prospects are not on Muckety, like me, which Maria hastily pointed out, you can go to loser.com and they'll map all the... Of course, there'll be no spokes coming from there. There'll just be one little stick figure in the middle, no spokes. It'll just have the person in isolation.
Yeah, I'm not sure we should be sending people to that site. I have no idea.
Well, I don't know what's there either. All right, let's talk about Muckety. So Muckety.
Muckety. You know, we'll provide you with that nice visual map as I described it a little earlier about how people are connected. But also, they have a brief bio that they provide on individuals. So I do find that quite useful. So for you might come across an individual that you'd like to run through that particular database. I frequently, when I'm doing my prospect research, Tony. These are tools that I have in my toolbox, right? So I'll be doing research and finding out, you know, about their philanthropic giving, about their assets, anything I can get a hold of in the public domain. These sites are yet another tool that I do reach out to and run their name through these services. So sometimes it'll be in one service and sometimes it'll be in another. And that's why it's important to kind of have a nice arsenal that you can tap into and have more than just one, even relationship mapping tool.
What I think is valuable about these tools is, and I want to point out that, because I was looking at some of the maps that were created, they don't just show the person and their connections, but then let's say the person is connected to a foundation and then the other people who are connected to that foundation.
That's right.
And so then as well as other people connected to that person. So it doesn't just go one level out or one dimension.
Right. You can keep expanding it out much further. So as I was talking before about using your name as an example, let's say you're connected to the XYZ Foundation. Well, then certainly that's not just a bricks and mortar building, right? That foundation is made up of people. So you can actually click on that foundation name and hit expand, and it will then shoot out spokes, and at the end of each spoke will be the individual names of other directors.
Right.
Who are connected to that foundation. So presumably, then Tony Martinetti would have access to, say, all 10 of those directors of that particular foundation.
And this all has the advantage of being visual, which appeals to a lot of people.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So moving on to the next tool I want to talk about is Corporation Wiki. And again, here you can search by people, companies, and states. So one of the things that I liked about Corporation Wiki is that you can then... you can click on your state name and then drill down further to getting it just as far down as the name of a particular town. And names pop up there, corporations and so forth. So, you know, a lot of the wealth in America, Tony, is held by people who own their own businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was highlighted for us very well many years ago in that book, The Millionaire Next Door. So you may have some new names pop up of businesses and individuals that you had no idea resided or ran a business in your particular community. And so this might bring up some new organizations and people that you want to check out a little further.
Is Corporation Wiki one of the free sites, or this is a pay one?
Yes, it's free.
Excellent.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay.
Now, another free one that we have talked about extensively in the past is called LinkedIn. And, you know, that is more on, you know, you have to be a LinkedIn member, which is free to do. But then you can also plug in the name of an individual, and it will tell you how many degrees you're separated from that individual.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more for B2B or business-to-business prospecting that you might be looking to do and developing relationships. So I don't think we need to spend too much time talking about LinkedIn because we've talked about it a lot,
right.
But certainly it can be considered a relationship mapping tool. They actually have provide a link to your listeners to something called InMaps, which is kind of a cool interactive visual representation of your own professional universe.
Oh, where do you find that? How do you find InMaps on your LinkedIn?
Well, I've got the link for you right on the, it's called InMaps, and I provide it on the recap that I'll send out after the conclusion of today.
We'll
so you'll be able
Facebook
to click right
LinkedIn.
Through to
Okay.
It's on LinkedIn. It's on LinkedIn, yep.
Right. But I'm saying we'll put it on the Facebook page and in the LinkedIn group, yeah.
Yes, I'll put it on both places for you. Another freebie, and the final one to talk about in terms of the free, is called the Notable Names Database. And they say that they track over 37,000 people of note. Now, I will say that there you're going to be finding more of the, you know, famous people who are out there. But certainly if you happen to have a prospect who is a famous individual or a donor who's a famous individual, you might run their name through this database to see who else they may be connected to that they could help open some doors.
That sounds like it could also be called top 1/10 of 1% .com.
Yeah.
37,000 people. That's pretty small.
Yeah, it's a pretty small database.
Now that I've confused people, why don't you give the name of that site one more time?
Notable Names Database. It's called NNDB, and they have something called a mapper tool, NNDB mapper tool.
We have to leave it there. All these resources will be on the Facebook page and the new LinkedIn group. Maria Semple is the Prospect Finder. You will find her. You will find the finder at theprospectfinder.com. Thank you very much, Maria.
Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure.
Bye now.
My thanks also to Cheryl Newfer for joining me in the first segment. Next week, the M&Ms, Melanie and Melanie. It's the Melanie Show. Melanie Grace West writes the Donor of the Day feature for the Wall Street Journal. I have a special title all set for her. You'll have to listen to hear what that is. I'll ask her how she likes to be pitched so that you can give it your best shot at getting major coverage for your donors in the journal. And we'll also talk about what she's learned from writing this column. Every day, 5 days a week, the Donor of the Day feature. And Melanie Schnoll-Begun is Managing Director at Morgan Stanley Private Wealth Management. She helps her ultra-high net worth clients make charitable gifts and get on boards, but she has incredible, really valuable practical advice that applies to any charity soliciting any size gift or recruiting any board member. Also, do you think that the very wealthy people aren't interested in small and mid-sized charity boards? She's going to prove you wrong. Podcast listeners, you stepped up. Thank you very much again for rating my show in iTunes. If you haven't yet, you can always start by going to nonprofitradio.net. I think I mentioned that once or twice earlier. And for those of you who did, thank you again very much. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Sam Leibowitz is our line producer. The show's social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media. And the remote producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is John Federico of The New Rules. I hope you will be with me next week for The Melanie Show, Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, always at Talking Alternative Broadcasting at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
How's your game? Want to improve your performance, focus, and motivation? Then you need Aspire Athletic Consulting. Stop second-guessing yourself. Move your game to the next level. Bring back the fun of the sport. Help your child build confidence and self-esteem through sports. Contact Dale at Aspire Athletic Consulting for a free 15-minute power session to get unstuck today. Your greatest athletic performance is just a phone call away at 801-604-0294 or visit aspireconsulting.vpweb. Motivational coaching for athletic excellence. Aspire to greatness.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then tune in on Thursdays at 1 p.m. for Love in the Afternoon with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. With distinguished authors, industry gurus, and experts on everything from wine to fashion, join us as we discuss dating, relationships, and more on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
TalkingAlternative.com.